I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB with Donald Gregg, and he's a member of the Orlando Consort. Thanks for taking a few minutes after your sound check to talk with me, Donald.
That's a pleasure.
You're doing an All Machaut program, and Machaut's not a composer we hear from too often, medieval composer. What is it about his music that that attracted the group and made you want to not only do this program, but you have a huge Machaut project that you're on the verge of, or maybe already begun?
Yes, we've begun it already. We did a recording of Machaut several years back. I mean, he's one of the major figures of medieval music, quite simply. He was born around about 1300, dies in 1377. He's not only a great composer, he's also a poet. So he's contemporary of Chaucer's, and of course the Brits would claim that Chaucer's the greatest. But if you think about it, Machaut not only wrote the poetry, he also wrote the music. So he's a recognised figure, no question. So we recorded a CD of Machaut's music several years back for Deutsche Grammophon. And it's wonderful repertoire. It starts out being slightly daunting, slightly alienating. The harmonic structure and framework is quite different from the 15th century and the 16th century. It's less familiar. Idiomatically, it's strange. He asks you to do strange leaps. He demands a lot vocally. The lower parts have no words, so we have to simply vocalize on an open vowel and so on. So it is very strange. But once you're immersed in that musical world, and of course recording is one of the great ways to do that, because you spend a few days just recording this music, you do find certain beauty to it. So more recently we've started a new relationship with Hyperion Records, and Simon Perry, bless him, philanthropic man that he is, looked at our various suggestions of repertoire to record, and at the bottom we'd simply put something like, and record the entire Machaut chanson, which was just daft suggestion. But he immediately went to it and said, yeah, we should do this. And we're saying, are you sure? He said, how many CDs? Well, we haven't even worked it out yet, but it's going to be 15 or 20 CDs.
It's astounding, 15 or 20 CDs.
Absolutely, it's going to go on, it'll run and run. So we've recorded several so far, and two have been released. Le Roi dit, which is a narrative poem by Machaut, which we're doing in concert this evening, which links these different songs with readings explaining what the structure of the poem is and why the pieces were written. It's Machaut as an old man writing to a young woman. That's not as perverse as it sounds. It's very much in the tradition of courtly love. It's charming rather than in any way suggestive or lewd. And then the second half features a lot of music from our second CD, which has been released, called The Dart of Love, which moves into motets, not just chansons, and also features some rounds, a couple of rounds, one at a chasse, which is about hunting and so on. So you hear these battle cries as well of people, you know, chasing after hounds and deer and so on, and falcons. They have falcons as well in the chase.
If this is going to take 15 or 20 CDs, I can't imagine it's going to be sort of 15 or 20 CDs of more or less the same thing. What do you anticipate the ensemble will need to do to pivot and calibrate differently as you go through the project? How did Machaut's music evolve, in other words?
It's actually very difficult to talk about an evolution in Machaut's work, because he continually revised the work. So it's all of an exceptionally high quality. I mean, you know, you usually have composers split into three eras. You know, their immature years, their mature years, and then the dark years at the end of their life. In fact, Machaut was continually working on his poetry, continually refining, revising these compositions. So you can't talk in those kind of terms. For us, it'll just be a luxury to spend that much time on that one composer. And on the page, sometimes, although they look strange, they don't look too complicated. But of course, when you record them, the more you sing them, the more you discover the intricacies, the kind of things that obviously a music historian, a musicologist would write about and analyze to the nth degree. But we're actually doing that process while performing it.
And there are four of you in the core of the group. Sometimes you expand with others, but how then do you take on the is there a leader for the overall project or for the different chapters of the project?
Well, we're very fortunate insofar as we have very good friends who are music historians, and they are creating the first really modern edition of Machaut in modern notation. There was one done in the 1950s, a famous one, but it really hasn't been done in this kind of detail. So we have these friends, they are friends, musicologists, who are beavering away, going back to the original manuscripts, correcting the kinds of mistakes that were made in the 50s for various reasons, going back to, you know, absolutely pinning it down. So in a sense, they're helping us with providing additions and also ideas as well, ways of structuring the discs so that they're not just endless chansons, something thematic. The second CD, for example, is about Machaut quoting other composers and so on, and also himself being quoted. So there's that sort of link. Angus Smith, my colleague, is responsible often for the programming. So he, again, has a complete thorough spreadsheet of all of Machaut's work. So it's a question of, it's a jigsaw puzzle, really. And it's evolving. We haven't plotted absolutely everyone and so on.
You're just arrived in Boston here at First Church in Cambridge, and just watching you rehearse a little bit, it's clear that you make adjustments as you go. What do you find when you show up in this space? What did you find in rehearsal that you needed to tweak about what you're doing?
Essentially, it's a very live acoustic, and it's very soupy, we would say. It's a beautiful acoustic to sing in, don't get me wrong. But because there is quite a lot of detail in the music, we've had to slow some of the tempi down. Not to any degree that an audience would think, oh, you took that very slowly. It won't be like that. And it's a micro adjustment. And also, perhaps for the reasons of clarity, we'll put a slight front at the beginning of notes and so on. And maybe simply because acoustics respond differently to different frequencies, you know, the lower parts perhaps have to just sing a little bit more. The higher part might have to tuck things in slightly. Maybe sibilants can be toned down a bit. Maybe some of the plosives, the P's and B's and so on, need a bit more effort and a bit more work. Those are the kinds of things that any musician would do in, you know, in a different hall.
So I want to run one little story by you. I saw one time Anonymous 4, and it happened to be that I was like in the second row or something like that. I was right on top of them. And I was stunned because they actually didn't sound alike. And I listened to the recordings. There's a beautiful, beautiful sheen of an all-alike sound. And then I went back into the hall a little bit, and it did blend more. But what I found was, or at least what I think I found, is that the real blend happens with the articulation of the beginning of that note. And you just said that you changed the front of the note. And am I onto something here about how a group develops an ensemble sound, that it's not just the tone, there are other ways that you do it?
Well, there are certainly matching vowel sounds. That makes a big difference. I mean, we spend a lot of time on authentic pronunciation, for better or worse.
Okay.
Not for reasons simply of authenticity, but because it means we're all aiming for exactly the same vowel. So that will also add a certain sort of uniformity to the sound and therefore blend. But actually, one of the things about our group is that our voices are quite distinct. And we don't shy away from that. We don't try to create some sort of more vague ethereal sound. Nothing wrong with that at all. But we think within the form of a collective that individual expressivity is important, and part of the character of the voice needs to come through. So we like those different colours.
Yeah. Well, terrific. Don Gregg, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with me after a kind of busy day, I'm sure.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.